Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. I'm your host, Joanna DeVoe, and this is a happy, hippie place where magic with a K meets the law of attraction. Hi, thanks for joining me for episode 73 of Hippie Witch, magic for a new age. My name is Joanna DeVoe, and I am the cookie creatrix behind Kick-Ass Witch, putting the K in magic, and of course, Hippie Witch, the show you are listening to right now. I also have a free ebook by that name, Hippie Witch, Peace, Love, and All That Good Shit, and you can pick up a copy of that at www.joannadevoe.com, and I put a link to that back on the description page for this episode at Blog Talk Radio. And iTunes still has not got their shit together. I've been talking back and forth with Blog Talk Radio. They have fairly decent customer service. I am surprised and pleased to say, because a lot of companies like that, like if you try to contact YouTube or Facebook, good luck to you. No one is ever getting back to you ever. But Blog Talk, they actually write back to you. And if you listen to last week's show, you know 13 of my episodes are missing from iTunes. And they were very communicative in helping me out with that. But ultimately, it came down to it's an iTunes problem. So iTunes is one of those companies that you might never hear back from if you try to contact them about a glitch like that. So those episodes are still missing. If you want to hear them, you can hear them at Blog Talk Radio. And also, if you listened to last week's show, you know that I had a really bad chest cold and my energy was low. My energy is very high, but I've already had to stifle a couple of coughs today in, like, the 2 minutes I've been talking to you. And, sorry, just saying it. Just saying it makes me want to cough. But I feel great, but my lungs are not with me all the way yet. They're a little like, and talking, getting sound out makes it a little, whatever. It's not the best, but it's not the worst, and I'm in a good mood. So I'll try not to cough through this whole episode. And I wanted to start out today by asking you a question that I hope that you will actually ask yourself, that you'll take the time to answer. And that is, what would you do if you were told that you only had 6 months to live? And I'm going to pause here because I want you to actually think about that. What would you do if you were told that you only had 6 months to live and it was for sure, it was definite, there was no way around it, you can't juice your way out of this, you can't gaze your way you can't gaze at the sun or become a breatharian. There's no magical cure down in Mexico. That's it. You get 6 months. What would you do if you only had 6 months to live? What would you do if you only had 6 weeks to live? What would you do if you only had 6 days? Where would you go? Who would you spend your time with? What would you eat? And I think if you ask yourself, what would I eat? And you're like, ice cream sundaes, double-double bacon cheeseburgers, and lots of ranch dressing. That's your answer. I think all your answers are very revealing when you ask yourself questions like that. But if your answer is something like that, it might not be a sign that you need to eat more double-double bacon cheeseburgers. It might just be a sign that you need to indulge yourself a little bit more in life. You can also go ask yourself, what would you stop doing? And, you know, my mom always said I was morbid. I had a lot of questions about death as a kid, and she'd always be like, you're so morbid. She never wanted to answer those questions. And I think that this perhaps could seem like a morbid question, but for me, questions like this, they always help me sort out my priorities. They're questions that help you stop preparing to live versus, like, really getting into your life and living. And they can be very revealing. I think we just do things without thinking sometimes. We just get into a groove or a pattern, or things just are the way they are. We get into, you know, what I was trying to talk about last week, but I had such low energy, I don't know if what I said actually had an impact, but we spend a lot of time preparing to live and never get around to living. And I wasted so much time doing this, preparing to live, trying to fix myself. I had myriad health problems. And by the way, I'm not 100%. I'm not just talking about my lungs bugging me today. I have not like 100% cured myself of every problem I've ever had using diet. I just got my health up to a certain level where I wasn't living with anxiety and depression anymore. And I realized, though, that in all the time I spent trying to fix myself, psychology, spirituality, nutrition, all these different modalities, I was preparing to live rather than living my life. And I just think that's a shame. I think sometimes you have to show up for your Blog Talk Radio show when you have a chest cold and have it not be great because you just don't want to miss out on your life because it goes by fast. And I spent a lot of time, so much time preparing to live, so much time, you know, hiding out like a hermit in my home. That was interesting. I think this happens to addicts a lot. Like once you get sober, if you've spent, you know, a decade or two or three avoiding life, which is what addictions allow you to do. They allow you to escape life. When you finally like re-enter life, you realize like, whoa, everybody else has done all these things. Their life has gone on. They've lived their life. They have all these things that they've acquired and relationships. I don't even know how to have a friendship, you know, stuff like that can happen when you try to opt out of life or when you spend your life preparing to live. Forgive my lungs. Deep breath. I wanted to talk about this today, even though it's a little bit of a reiteration of what I was talking about last week, because August Eve, Lammas, Lunsod, or as I like to call autumn transition, is upon us. And I have another module to the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year coming out. This one is just going to be focused on the entire month of August and how August is an awesome month to take advantage of and to do a bit of work, a bit of psycho-spiritual work, and to prepare for the coming fall and to not just let it, I don't know, for me, I think August, a lot of people get bored in August, a lot of people don't know what to do with themselves, or the summer at that point starts to feel like it's going on forever, you can't wait for the kids to go back to school, and it can be a time where you get into that place of like, waiting to live, waiting for things to get back into the swing of things. And I think it's a great time to take stock of your life and to remember to engage it as well. And I was thinking about death as it relates to this because we just had the summer solstice. That was the last turn of the wheel. And with the summer solstice, it actually marks the death of the sun god, the decline of the sun god, because the sun, it starts getting, the sunlight, the days start getting shorter and shorter and shorter from that point on. And in mythology and folklore, that's perceived as the dying sun god. So we're in this sort of slow dying phase as the year is dying as it makes its way toward the winter solstice. So I had death on the brain. And it's interesting how things just fall into place like this. I had some personal, nobody's died, but some lives are threatened in my personal life that brought this to mind. That question I asked at the beginning of the episode, what would you do if you were told you have 6 months to live? And then yesterday, Margot Adler died at 68. My parents are just entering their 60s, so of course I think that this is too young. But it's actually much longer than many of us get, and Margot Adler lived a full, super engaged life. And many of you probably know her as the author of Drawing Down the Moon and A Wiccan High Priestess, but she was many other things, and that to me is what being a kick-ass witch is all about. It's about living a full, well-rounded, self-defined life. And she really personified that. So, you know, she wasn't just the author of that one book that all witches love. She had a bachelor's arts degree in political science from Berkeley and a master's in journalism from Columbia University. She was a mother, an author, an eco-feminist, a journalist, and a correspondent for NPR. And NPR did a really nice little memorial piece on her right after she died. And it led like this. I wanted to read this. I cut and pasted it because I know so many of us love Margot Adler. I was actually hoping to interview her for my show, which might be a selfish thing to say under the circumstances, but I just discovered her this year. I knew who she was, but I just read Drawing Down the Moon, and then I was, you know, so excited about that book, I went and listened to all her lectures. She was a prolific lecturer, and you can find quite a bit of that online. So I listened to every interview and lecture I could find of hers online. She's very interesting. But the NPR had to say about her, Margot Adler joined NPR in 1979. She was known for a personality as dynamic as the city she covered, New York. She died Monday at age 68 of cancer. Even when the city was in upheaval, she found the people and the details that made listening a delight. She once said that she was most drawn to stories of everyday people. And you can see that reflected in the comments of that NPR. It's like a little radio segment they did, and then that was what I just read to you was the text lead-in. But below that, you can read comments. And she was a very beloved person. I think that's because she was a person who was very much engaged in life, and her life was much bigger than being a Wiccan high priestess or the author of Drawing Down the Moon. She was in it. She was living it. And 12:11. Okay, I'm really mindful of the time today because I busted out a book that I wanted to try to read a couple of segments to you today. I didn't really structure today's show because I have a lot to say about death. I was, like I said earlier, I had a lot of questions about death when I was a kid. Primarily, what was going to happen to us after we died, and who got to heaven, and why. And like I said, It really disturbed my mom, which is interesting because she had a lot of deaths in my life as a kid, so I guess that's why it bothered her, but I was very curious about it, and she would always say I was being morbid. My biological father died before I was born, so once I learned that, death became even more interesting to me, and I think that was really the beginning of the end of my Christianity, is asking those kinds of questions. I've told this story before, but I had a grandpa who died when I was a teenager, and it was the only funeral I had been to that there wasn't a preacher. We weren't in a church. We were, like, outside, and it was a very casual ceremony, and I asked a relative why that is, and he said he wasn't a Christian, and I said, does that mean he didn't go to heaven? And I got this look that said, yep. And that did not sit well with me because I loved this grandpa. He was a great person. He was a great father, a great husband, a fireman. He was in service to his community and just a really good person. And it didn't resonate very well with me that he went to hell. And that was really when things started spinning out for me and I started questioning my religion. And so much of religion is built on death, on the fear of death, on the avoidance of death. And some very clever people have leveraged that to control the masses. And it's interesting. I can't remember what I was Googling. I was Googling something for this episode, and oh, I know. The title of the show, I put in Live Like You're Dying. I just wanted to see, you know, what came up, if any cool pictures came up that I could use on my Facebook post. And I came across a Bible verse, actually, Ecclesiastes 9. And then you click on whatever the link I was on, and it led to 9/11, which so strange. Every hair on my body stood at attention for that, because the verse says this, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill. But time and chance happeneth to them all. Death happens to everybody. My friend Lenora has a novel series that she's been writing, and I'm going to say this wrong. What's for ye will not go by ye. It's like an old Scottish saying that, like, you can't escape what's meant for you, and ultimately what that means for everybody, what this Bible verse, Ecclesiastes 9:11, is saying is it doesn't matter how good of a person it is. It doesn't matter how purely you live your life, how well you eat, the deeds you do. In the end, we are all going to die. And to me, that is not something to be, well, I guess it depends. I want to say that's not something to be afraid of, but I can't tell you don't be afraid to die. I'm not afraid to die. I'm afraid to leave the people I love, especially my son. I'm afraid for him, but I'm not afraid of what happens to me after I die. And I think, you know, when I think of death, this is becoming more and more real for me, by the way, as I turned 40 in September and I realized, like, oh, I'm not going to live forever. Interesting. As I start having those thoughts, it makes me want to live more. It makes me want to do the things that I always wanted to do. I love to say it's never too late to be what you might have been. But you might want to add to that, until it's too late, because one day it is going to be too late. You can take up ballet, underwater basket weaving, acting, music, whatever it is you always dreamed of doing. You know, when you're in your 80s, there's this cool movement of people that are older that are getting tattoos or learning how to surf or jumping out of airplanes. I think that is awesome. I think that comes from that live like you're dying mentality. All their friends start dying. All their loved ones start dying. And you get to that point where it's like the cheese stands alone. And you see that, like, wow, I don't have many years left. What am I going to do with the time I have remaining? And, you know, the question I asked at the beginning about, you know, what would you do if you had 6 months to live? You don't even know if you have 6 hours to live. None of us know. We don't know. So we should live like we're dying. And I think that's really an interesting thing about pagans. Speaking of, Margot Adler and witches, because we're all about the witches here. What's interesting and what's very attractive to me about this spiritual practice, I hesitate to call it a religion because I definitely don't feel like I'm a part of religion, but something that is common to many pagans I know is that we embrace death. And we embrace the life-death-life cycle, which is reflected in the Wheel of the Year, which I have so much on my mind because I'm late getting this Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year module out to you all. By the way, if you're on my newsletter, you will be getting that in your email box. The second that sucker is ready, you will be getting an email letting you know. So you're not going to miss it. And if you aren't on my newsletter, why? Why? Tell me why. It's such a good newsletter. I love that thing. I put a lot of heart into every 2 weeks sending out a newsletter. And if you got my ebook, you're on the newsletter, so no worries. At any rate, what I was trying to say about the life-death-life cycle is it allows us to live, to really live. And because nobody's, like, holding this, you know, will you go to heaven or will you go to hell? We don't believe in hell. We don't believe in Satan because nobody's holding that over us. We're not trying to adhere to a set of rules, to someone else's idea of morality in order to later be rewarded by heaven or in heaven. You know, we're not sacrificing. We're not reining in our pleasure or our enjoyment and controlling ourselves so that we can be rewarded later on. We're not preparing to live in the afterlife. This is our life. Our pleasure is not deferred. Our pleasure is here, now. And I love that about pagans. That is why they're such an eccentric, fun, wild, interesting bunch of people. Because, like, this is it. We make our own heaven or hell on earth. And it's really fun to see a group of people who are dancing around naked with, you know, with symbols painted all over their bodies, rocking out in the forest. That, to me, is like, we will not defer our pleasure. We will live. We will live like we are dying because we know that we are dying. And we're not afraid of death because death is the next step that leads to our next birth. Death is what comes before rebirth. We are living in the life-death-life cycle. And Susan Weed, this is the book I busted out. Healing Wise by Susan Weed. And half the passages I wanted to read to you marked with paper towels, so this could be a funny little scavenger hunt here as I try to reach for them. But she is a self-proclaimed green witch and one of my all-time favorite women. Yes, she is kooky. Yes, she has opinions that piss people off and that not everyone agrees with. I don't agree with every single thing she says. Who cares? This is what makes her so fabulous, so very, very delicious. This is why she's one of my favorite people. That is what I aspire to be, a defiantly kooky woman and just wholly myself. So I happen to love her. And learning about her take on the life-death-life cycle, she was the first person that talked about that made me really sit up and take notice. And so learning about that, it was a pivotal moment in my life. I eat you, and you eat me, and the cycle goes on and on. Life, death, life, death, life. It really allowed me to confront and eventually discard some dietary dogma that I was holding on to and had really just begun to question. And I think in reading this book also, it allowed me to see that dogma was just sort of like another, it was another version of the religious dogma I grew up on. I just sort of switched it over to my diet, this whole thing about cleansing and purity and original sin. It all rang true to me. If you don't know what I'm talking about, pick up a copy of Healing Wise. It's a very quirky book, I will warn you. She, like, talks in the voices of plants, and it's very quirky, but it's full of profound, interesting insights as well. And really, I think it's a good book for pagans to read, especially people that are hung up on any harm none, because I think, is there a diet that harms none? Many Wiccans have explored this and like to talk about it, but I say there's not. Plants are sentient beings, and what modern agriculture with its monocrops has done to entire ecosystems, wiping out every bunny, every lizard, every bug, mushroom, groundhog, and microbe in the soil, well, that is not harming none, is it? So we all, meat eaters and vegans alike, we all have to take care and make our food choices with compassion and thoughtfulness these days because of whatever, corporations, and because none of us can escape the life-death-life cycle. We can have compassion. We can make our food choices with compassion and consciously contribute, you know, choose to contribute to as little suffering as possible. But in the end, something must die so that we must live. And ultimately, we will die too. And it's interesting to think, too, how we have tried as humans to stop the life-death-life cycle on that end, too. You know, sealing off our loved ones' bodies in airtight caskets and pumping them full of tissue-preserving chemicals. Clearly, we are a species that fears death. And I think that this so often prevents us from living. As I said in last week's show, I quoted Eckhart Tolle, it is not uncommon for people to spend their whole life waiting to start living. Good night. It is not 6 minutes to the end of the show. Good night. How did that happen? Ah. That quote reminded me of my husband's grandparents. When I first met him, the first year we were together, I went back east, the East Coast, to visit his grandparents. It was their wedding anniversary, and it was a big one. I forget how many years 40 years together, 50, I don't know, a long time. They're very old now. They're both in their upper 90s. But what's interesting is back then, you know, he was upset because they were dying and they weren't going to make it, you know, very much longer. And we've been together now well over a dozen years, and I've kind of become immune to this because his family has told me a jillion times, any day now, any day now, any day now. And a dozen years have gone by with these grandparents not wanting to see their family and telling the family, like, oh, no, we don't feel good. Don't come visit us. Don't look at us. They just kind of want to seal themselves up and wait for death. And meanwhile, over a decade of their lives have gone by this way, like sitting in recliners locked up in their house and keeping their families from them and not living their lives. And they're blessed. They're like 97 now, and they've really, in my opinion, you know, you got to show up how you are. Show up in a wheelchair. Show up in a walker. If all you can do is prop yourself up in bed, show up that way and let the love in and really live your life. And I'm going to jump around a bunch now because I wanted to read this stuff that Susan Weed had to say, and I'm all out of time here. So not to gloss over the bit about Billy's grandparents, but I wanted to mention that because that's a really profound example to me of people who have forgotten to live like they're dying. They're just kind of waiting to die and in the meantime are missing out on 12 years of living. Let's see, what does she have to say here? Maybe I'll skip that part because I'm out of time. So she's all about the wise woman tradition. So let's see, what does she have to say? In the wise woman tradition, we are alive and dead at the same time. Each second, a million new cells in each of us stir to life. Each second, a million more cells expire, die. Breathing in, we inspire and live. Breathing out, we expire and die. Our death gives life to others. The death of others, plants and animals, gives life to us. Now I eat you, now you eat me. Life and death coexist. So that's kind of what I was saying about diet there. Oh, this is really interesting. Do I have enough time for this? Okay. Open your minds, because this is a little out there, but it's very interesting. She's talking about the power of the void, and the spiral is the symbol for the wise woman and the void. In the wise woman tradition, all health, all coming to wholeness begins with the return to the void. Rebirth inevitably follows death. I'm skipping around a bit here just to let you know. Where does the spiral end? Where does it begin? In the void. The place of female power, the place we are taught to avoid, nothing, chaos. The spiral emerges from and ends in invisibility, the great nothing, dark womb of the goddess, endlessly empty, endlessly full, doorway of life, window of transformation, entry to death. Death is part of successful healing in the wise woman tradition. Death, the invisible, unique void. Isn't that so interesting? Gosh, and now I want to read this part that I took the paper towel out of. She was talking about the scientific tradition and how so much of what the scientific tradition is geared toward is preventing death and how we cannot prevent death. Okay, I got the 90-second warning. I'm sorry, I'm starting to ramble. Okay, give up, Joanna. Put the book down. And you know, speaking of books, I just yesterday posted another Book Nerd Weekly post on the website, and it was about the path of a Christian witch. And that Facebook link leading to that has got quite a bit of conversation going there, and it's interesting. You know, I was talking about Christians and pagans, and it's interesting what happens when someone calls themselves a Christo-pagan or a Christian witch and how those two ideas really clash for a lot of people and brings up a lot of controversy. So I recommend checking that out if that's something that interests you. And till we meet again in your inbox, I hope. I will tell you when this new module for the Psycho-Spiritual Wheel of the Year is out as we begin to transition into autumn, and hopefully you will spend August doing some psycho-spiritual work with me and having a little bit of fun. I will talk to you next Tuesday. Much love. Peace.